Chelek Tezayin, Parshas Pekudei, Sicha Aleph. The Rebbe begins the Sicha with an oft-quoted rule of Rashi, that Rashi explains every idea in the verses in the Psukim that are unclear. And when Rashi doesn't give an explanation for something unclear in the Pasuk, Rashi will say, Eini idea, I don't know, or the like. So when we come across an apparent difficulty in the Pasuk, which Rashi doesn't address, we must conclude one of two things. Either it's really not unclear when reading the pshat, the literal meaning of the words, or Rashi has explained this idea earlier. In our parshias, there is an idea that is not clear as it is stated in the verses, yet Rashi does not explain it. In Parshas Vayakel, the Torah tells us how Moshe Rabbeinu relayed all that Hashem had told him and all that Hashem commanded regarding the donations to the Mishkan, the tabernacle, with all its details. And then following that, the instruction about building the Mishkan and all the details. Thereafter, the Torah relates how the nation brought the donations for making the Mishkan. And there we learn in detail how the artisans constructed the Mishkan, the curtains, and all the kelim, all the vessels. And in Parshas Pekudei, we read once again about the garments of the Kohen. Every single detail of all of these commandments are actually repeated in detail as Hashem spoke to Moshe, then as Moshe related to Bnei Yisrael, and then again in the donations brought and in the construction. Usually in Torah, we would not have a repetition of each instruction. Rather, we would learn, as we do in several similar situations, that Vayasu b'nei Yisrael kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. The nation did as Hashem had commanded Moshe. Why the repetition? And in detail, once when Hashem commanded Moshe and once before the nation fulfilled this command. In fact, at the beginning of Vayakel, Rashi says, Kvar pirashti nidvas ha-mishkan u'melachosai b'mokim tzavosam. I've already explained the donations to the tabernacle and the work when this was first commanded. In other words, there's nothing new being said here with all these repetitions. Hence, Rashi doesn't comment, which really just makes our question that much stronger. Why does the Torah repeat all of this two more times? While several Mefarshim address this obvious question, Rashi does not. Not at the outset of this discussion in Vayakel, and not at its conclusion in Parshas Pekudei. In Parshas Kisisa, Rashi does in fact bring a question regarding the repetition of just a few words. The words, Lo yisevash al gedi b'chelev imoy, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. And there, Rashi explains the repetition, saying that the Torah repeats this, Lo yisevash al gedi b'chelev imoy, three times, to teach us the prohibitions of eating, enjoying, and cooking in this non-kosher way. But here, on lengthy, repeated paragraphs of complete parshias, Rashi says, and questions nothing. Perhaps we could suggest that this is partially answered with a very interesting Rashi in our parsha on the Pasuk in Perek Lamed Ches, chapter 38, verse 22, which reads, U'Bitzalel ben Uri ben Hur lemata Yehuda osa eskol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Bitzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Yehuda, one of the main artisans of the Mishkan, did all that Hashem had commanded Moshe. Which Rashi, to the unspoken question that it doesn't mention that Moshe then instructed Bitzalel, answers and says, Bitzalel did even what Moshe had not commanded him. When Moshe instructed him to fashion the furnishings for the Mishkan, in other words, he did what Hashem had commanded Moshe. Rashi teaches us that Moshe instructed Bitzalel to make the kelim and then the Mishkan, to which Bitzalel said, it's common practice to make the house first and then the furnishings. And Moshe Taki responded, saying, you're right, that is how I heard it from Hashem. And so the Mishkan was made first, and then the vessels. So we could suggest, maybe for this reason, or similarly, that this is the reason that all the details of the vessels are mentioned yet again, because it reflects on how connected Bezalel was to what Hashem requested, and how he switched the order of how he was instructed by Moshe. But in addition to the fact that it won't answer why the details are mentioned again when Moshe repeats Hashem's instruction to the nation regarding the donations, and why again when instructing them how to make the Mishkan and its vessels, and it also doesn't cover the question why the lengthy instructions repeated about the actual construction. Just the part of these events recorded in Torah telling us that first the Mishkan was made and then the vessels would have to be made would be sufficient. But the entire repetition of how the vessels were constructed and the details of the construction of the garments of the Kohanim, these were not new details and weren't about any changes that Bezalel made. Why the repetition? And if the repetition is only to inform us of the order in which the Mishkan was built, that it was built first and then the Kelim, we really don't need a repeat of all the details we have previously learned. There are two more issues here. Once the details are repeated, when in our parsha, Bezalel and Aliyah bring the vessels to Moshe for actual construction, the details are again repeated. And only after the construction does the Torah finally say that one line that seems it would have been sufficient all along, Kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein asu bnei Yisrael es kol havaida. Like everything that Hashem had commanded Moshe, this was done by Bnei Yisrael, the work in its entirety. How do we understand this? The Mishkan and its vessels were of the most precious and dear items to the Jews, for through these things Hashem dwelled amongst us. Particularly, as the Mishkan is called the Mishkan Ha'edus, the tabernacle of witness to Hashem's forgiveness of us as a people for our misdeeds with the Egel, the golden calf. And upon forgiving us as a sign, Hashem brought his Shechina to rest among us. Remember, Chaita Egel was the worst possible sin. We distanced ourselves from God and thus created the greatest concealment ever, to the extent that we, so to speak, signed our own death warrant, Rachman Litzlan. So the Mishkan, the symbol of our forgiveness, is a huge deal to our people. And this is why the Mishkan and its vessels, the donations, the directions for construction, and the construction is repeated over and over. Because when something is so dear to you, maybe like the clever things our children or grandchildren say, get repeated over and over, it's a sign of love. And this is not something that Rashi has to explain. In fact, Rashi has already explained this in Parshas Chayesara. When Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, goes to find Rivka, the Torah repeats the events as Eliezer speaks to Rivka's family. And Rashi explains that Rabbi Acha says that this is because the ordinary conversations of the servants of the patriarchs is more pleasing to God even than the Torah of the offspring. Hence, this entire story, the story of all the events that took place with Eliezer, is repeated, even as so much of Torah law comes to us only in brief indications in Torah. So something so beloved to God is eminently repeatable with all its details, even when nothing new is being shared. It's about love. But Rashi's explanation with Eliezer actually seems to say something that does not work in our favor. Let's review that. Rav Acha says that this is because the ordinary conversations of the servants of the patriarchs is more pleasing to God even than the Torah study of their offspring. That would seem to say that we, the offspring and the Torah that we are studying, is not as precious as the ordinary conversations of the servants of our forefathers. How does this fit with our situation here? We are the children. This is our Torah. We understood this, we understand this with the realization that the statement, the ordinary conversations of the servants of the forefathers, over the Torah of their children doesn't speak to the preciousness of the servants over the children. Rather, it speaks to the preciousness of sicha, of the conversation, the talk over Torah, over instructive study. What is the difference between these two things? Torah means teachings, halacha, law, Hashem instructing us what we must do and to know what we must not do. But then there is something called sicha, talk that isn't about commandments, but rather a story that depicts a situation involving our nation, an event, or a mission, like Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, went on a mission and spoke about Avraham and Yitzchak and what happened when he was coming to Rivka, how the journey miraculously was shortened with Kfitzas HaDerech, and how Hashem showed him the right way for Eliezer as the well in the water rose up. So it's about the kind of conversation, even of a servant of the Avos, and how precious it is to Hashem that it is at times yafe, more dear even than the instruction of their children. Accordingly, we can understand how our parshiyos, Vayakel and Pekudei, following after Truma and Tetzava, the previous parshiyos, which are replete with instruction and law, are not about instruction. We already know what we're supposed to do. But our parshiyos, Vayakel and Pekudei, are the story, the narrative of the events as they unfolded. It's sicha and beloved to the Jews and to God. This is why Rashi mentions the name of the one who is the source for this teaching, Rabbi Acha, which we know is always for the purpose of a teaching of answering of a question. Who was Rabbi Acha that he specifically teaches us that yofe sichasan, that the stories are more precious than instruction? In Meseches Yuma, we learn a brisa. It says that the sages were discussing the Dibarta Bum, speak in them. And the assumption is that the Dibarta Bum means speak in Torah. But one explanation that's given by the sages is speak in Torah and it doesn't mean prayer. Another sage gives the explanation, the Dibarta Bum, you can speak only in Torah but not in anything else. Rabbi Acha, however, says, V'dibarta bum, ase oisan keva, make words of Torah your default conversation, and ensure that Torah is not just infrequent conversation. According to the way Rabbi Acha says this, we don't see that any other kind of talk is a problem. The other first two opinions say, speak this way, in Torah, and not any other way. No other way is good. But we don't get this from Rabbi Acha. There are other conversations to be had. Of course, not idle talk. But not only necessarily Torah, not necessarily Jewish law and instruction. The stories of Torah are also to be discussed and shared and used to inspire. And that kind of conversation can be yofe even more than Torah instruction. Even while the primary instruction of Rabbi Acha is make Torah your primary conversation, a Jew must always be reviewing Torah to ensure he knows what not to do and what to do. Chassidus explains this as follows. In the two parshiyos, where the details are repeated, there are two factors. One is the generous hearts of the nation, who brought with such haste the donations to the Mishkan, until they had to be told to stop, that it was enough, that it was more than enough. The second factor is the incredible compliance of the artisans of the Mishkan who fulfilled their tasks, kechol asher tziva Hashem, exactly as Hashem said to Moshe, which is unusual, to be able to fulfill one's task in building so precisely, so that nothing deviates from the designer Ke'ilu's instructions, that's unusual. So there was absolute dedication, absolute Kabbalah soul. These two factors, the generosity and the zrizus of the people, And the detail of God's word compliance of the artisans of the Mishkan infusion can be seen in the fulfillment of Hashem's instruction, Vayikhu li truma, take for me a donation from every Jew, kol asher yedvenu libei, whose heart is moved to give. These two factors are seen here, the Kabbalah's Ol, the compliance with Hashem's instruction, and the factor of the heart. We see this in the people and in the artisans, who are called Chachmei Lev, and fulfilled God's instruction precisely as an inspiration of their hearts. These two factors reflect Sicha, conversation, of who? Of the Avdei Avos, of the servants. Both of these elements existed for the nation and for the artisans, the Chachmei Lev. Sicha, conversation, is bound up with the heart. In fact, prayer, which is an aveda of the heart, a service of the heart, is called sicha. It's a service of the inspiration of the heart. And eved, the idea of a servant, emphasizes performance of mitzvahs, following commandments and instructions. So in the building of the Mishkan, the combination of both of these, heart pouring out to God, and absolute Kabbalah's all were present. And it is what is required of us in building our own Mishkan, a fusion of servant and generosity. And in the generosity and the moments of inspiration, one needs to be the Eved, doing what we do because Hashem commanded us so.